Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
All right, amen. Well, good morning. I invite you to take in your Bibles this morning to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be covering verses 3 to 5 this morning. Wanted to do a Mother's Day related sermon, and as a pastor, as you think about Mother's Days and Father's Days and some of these unique holidays that we have, and you think about preaching, and you're preaching to a group of men and women and children, and you realize there's lots of different people, right? You have men who aren't women, at least that's what the truth is, of course. And then we have children who, of course, aren't mothers. You have women who aren't mothers who want to be, and people who are missing their mothers. And so you have a lot of emotions, a lot of thoughts. And so it sometimes can be daunting as a pastor to be preaching a Mother's Day sermon. But I want you to realize that, and I've been thinking about this more and more, is that even though, I preach a sermon that's more mothers towards mothers, it's important for each of us to be thankful for our mothers on one hand, of course, but also to sort of, for all of us to look to the truth of this is what motherhood is, this is why it's important, and even if you're a guy, this is what you should be looking at, that we remember the truth of that. And so I want us to kind of remember that as we go into this morning. But we're going through discipleship in the book of Matthew, and this is sort of a break in it, but yet it's not, because this is an interesting passage in that it relates a lot to what we've been studying in Matthew, of discipleship theme in Matthew. Is here we're going to see discipleship come out in Titus 2, but we're also going to see how we live our lives affects others, which we're going to see next week in Matthew. And so it really does tie in wonderfully with what we've been talking about. But in our day, traditional motherhood is often looked down upon, isn't it? To focus most of your attention to raising your children, being a good wife, and taking care of your home is often viewed as oppressive. To many, motherhood is restrictive and hindering. This is why abortion is so valued by feminists in our day, because to them, becoming a mother means the dashing of your dreams and therefore the end of your life, so to say. And that's why many in our culture loudly proclaim motherhood is holding you back, restricting what you want to be. What about independence? Doing what you want, they say. In essence, being a good mother, being a good wife, is seen as insufficient to being a fulfilled life. Inherently, they're saying, all you're good for is that. So what they do is often portray motherhood as misery and drudgery, as something that is trapping you in the patriarchy bent on keeping you down. And even one radical feminist made the argument that women would never truly be free of patriarchy until they were freed from the yoke of reproduction. Sadly, this isn't only the view of radical feminists, because it has infiltrated much of our culture. In fact, one woman journalist had worked for years for a women's magazine and was consistently told by her editors, "We don't cover motherhood." But is that how we as Christians are supposed to view motherhood, as something low and restrictive and oppressive? Of course not. We hold up biblical motherhood as God has shown us, and we see its importance, its impact in the world. And one such passage that highlights that is here in Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Let me read it. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So according to this passage, we see the impact that a godly mother can have. And one of the things that comes out of this passage is that mothers, you go to the next slide there, mothers can greatly impact other mothers. Mothers can greatly impact other mothers. So in the context, Paul has been talking to Titus, and he's telling him how to put things in order in the church at Crete. And he has told him to teach what accords with sound doctrine. And now he goes in to talk about each category of people. And so he talks about what older men are to do, and now he goes on to older women. Now when Paul talks to Titus here, and he talks about older women, these are most likely mothers who have sort of adult children, sort of like their children are starting to grow up, they're grown up and sort of starting their own families. That's what he means. So typically, you know, 50 and 60 and older, you know, those types of women. And he shares some characteristics that they should display. If you see there, they should be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. So if you put these qualities, these characteristics together, you see this. These older women are essentially to be self-controlled and respectable. Essentially, you think of someone who is a mature, godly woman, right? They exemplify holiness. They bring benefit to others, not harm like slandering. And you see there, how are they to use their tongues? Not in slanderous ways, but what? Teaching what is good. That is, and the goal is teaching to train up young women how to live. And so older women, do you realize this is what you are called to do? Like this is not an option. This is command. You are supposed to be discipling younger women, younger mothers, helping them to be godly wives and mothers themselves. And so that means if you are not stepping up and doing this, the younger women are missing something out there. Something that they need for their growth. So many times people view churches kind of coming here, sermon, go home type of thing. But it's so much more than that. We are to be having this active part, active service to one another. You see, the teaching time doesn't stop when I'm done my morning sermon. It's teaching throughout the week, right? Older women are teaching younger women and things like that. And so that means, older women, there is no retirement from ministry, right? You are needed to serve throughout your life. Of course, this will likely change your weekly routine, right? Sometimes it's going to push you out of your comfort zone, but it is so needed. And so maybe for you, you need to reach out to someone. Reach out to a younger woman, and start to build a relationship. Invite them over and show them how to manage a household. Spend time with them. Instruct them on how to be a loving and kind wife and mother. Show them by example, by being self-controlled and godly. My wife often talks about how when she was in her college years, her pastor's wife would regularly invite her over when the pastor was gone, maybe a meeting or something, so she would invite Kate over to her house. And Kate got to see firsthand how she was a godly wife and mother. And they would talk about life, this was really an important growing time in my life. I saw her example, and I could see what does it actually look like in a day-to-day life of how do I raise little kids. And so never forget the impact that you can have on another woman. This is not just a small little task. This is a high calling. I mean, look at what older women can train younger women to do. To love their husbands and children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. You see here, older women can help younger women be godly women. I mean, that's a picture. This is godly, biblical womanhood. They help train them to be loving and kind wives and mothers, well-managed homes. And the result is the word of God is not reviled. Talk about impact. You are shaping another woman's life. And because you're shaping this woman's life now, all of those who interact with her are affected, right? Because now they're interacting with someone who is more kind and loving, and they are affected. And now when she gets older, now she can do the same thing to someone else. Her husband and children are blessed because now they have a more loving and kind wife and mother, someone who's taking care of the home. And the word of God isn't reviled because she's demonstrating this Christ-like life. This is the impact that you can have on someone else. Of course, it's going to take some sacrificing time and effort in order to train up younger women in the church. And so if you're an older woman, do you realize the impact that you can have, that you are called to have by God on younger women? So why not seek to determine, to mentor and help someone younger than you? This is what it looks like to disciple someone, really. If you think about it, this is what it looks like to disciple someone. This is what we are working towards in the book of Matthew, getting down to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Right? This is an example. This is a practical outworking of that. Investing in someone's life, teaching them to follow Christ. And the truth is, we need others to help us, to train us, to teach us how to follow Christ. And so, older women, your task is in front of you, but are you going to step up and do it? Younger women need you. They need taught by you. They need godly examples of this is what it looks like to raise your kids in a godly way. They need someone who has gone before them, who can come alongside them and say, I know what it was like when I had little ones, and I know, you know, it's frustrating and hard, but here are some principles, here are some truths that have helped me, and you're helping that woman as well. Because too many times when it comes to church, we come with a serve me mentality, when we should be coming with I come to serve mentality. Because what did Christ come to this earth? I have come not to be served, but to serve. Of course, it's easy to hear this, and it's easy to say, that is so important, I agree. But then it's easy to just kind of walk away and not do anything about it. And so I want you to really think about this, dwell upon this. And even if you want, take out a pencil, take out that little sermon outline sheet that came with you, and write down the name of one person younger than you that you could do this with. Think about what is one person that you could actually do this with. Even if you're younger, even if you're not a mother, is there someone younger than you that you could do this? Even if you're a man, is there a younger man that you could sort of just mentor? Because we're called to do that as well. And now write down one or two ways that you could encourage them, that you could invest in their life, that you could help them follow Christ better. Maybe it's as simple as just one step of, I'm going to ask this person out to breakfast, and we're just going to talk about how things are going in life. I mean, think about it. Is that really super hard, that one step? Going out to breakfast, right? Enjoy good food, enjoy a good fellowship, and then sort of investing in their life. Or I'm going to invite this person over. I'm going to teach them how to make this meal that I'm really good at, or that I have a good homemade recipe. And we're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about being a biblical woman. Or you can be creative with it. As long as there's this investing and speaking truth and speaking encouragement into their life. Because imagine the difference. Think about this. If every older woman in this church took one younger woman and did that in this church. Imagine the growth and impact that would make. Now think about now the community is impacted as those people are going out and they're showing off the Christ-like examples that they are to be. What a difference it would make in our church, in our community, and with those who they meet. And so we see moms can greatly impact other moms, but there's more. Mothers can greatly impact their home. You can go to the next slide there. Mothers can greatly impact their home. It's my issue. It was off. Mothers can greatly impact their home. And so we see there that older mothers are to train younger women, but what are they to train them and teach them? To love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands. As you look at that, what they're supposed to train them and teach them, modern-day feminists do not like that. Progressive Christians do not like these verses, but here they are. And we can't just say they were for that time and not ours, because then you start to question a lot of different places, and that's not good. The Bible is relevant for all time. And so what we see here is one aspect is they're taught a simple general godliness, right? Self-control, pure, kind. She's someone who's able to control her passions and desires, and so she's self-controlled with her tongue, self-controlled with her anger. She's not filled with envy and jealousy, and really the list could go on. In every area, she is self-controlled. She is pure, so pure in her mind and her heart and her faithfulness to her husband. She is kind to everyone that she meets. Essentially, she is this a mature and godly woman. So she's not this mean and nasty person who can't control herself, who can't control her tongue, but she is taught to be this godly mother, godly wife. She's self-controlled and kind. And looking what else she's taught, she's a big part of it is in relation to her home. Did you notice that? She's taught to be a godly wife and mother. She's to be loving to her husband and children. And at first, when you think about she is to love her husband and children, some of us think, well, aren't mothers inherently just loving to their husband and children? Well, in some sense, but here's the thing. Do you show it? Do you show that love consistently? Right? How do you treat your kids if they fail? Are you kind with your children when they get on your nerves? Now, loving your children may be the easier one, right? If you're a mother here today or a wife and you're thinking, yeah, loving the children might be a little bit easier than loving my husband, right? Because that's when sometimes it gets more intense because we have difference in opinions and everything going on. But once again, do you show love in everyday life? Do you often resent him? Do you become very bitter with him? Or are you showing him love regularly? How do you talk to him when you differ in your opinions? In fact, women are taught to be submissive to their husbands. The idea is that God has ordered the marriage relationship in such a way that the husband is the leader, and so the wife is to submit to their own husband in obedience to the Lord, and the husband, of course, is to love his wife in that. And the final thing is that they are to be busy at home. And the idea really here is to you're diligently focused on caring for your home. Really, you don't neglect your home, your household. She manages her household. That doesn't mean you do everything. You manage it so that it is done, right? Making sure that it's given enough time and attention. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're restricted to the home, but really, you don't neglect it, as I said. You don't put your home on the back burner because you have all these endeavors and dreams. But you remember that the home is an important part as a biblical mom, as a biblical wife. And this is all what these younger women are to be taught. Summarized very quickly, of course, but I want you to imagine a young woman who is taught and trained in these ways to do these things. And now she's starting to show these things in her life. So just imagine that. Imagine that that happens. Think of the impact she will have on her home now. She's self-controlled and kind and pure to those in her home. So mom isn't always just yelling in anger and losing her temper, saying mean things, but she's self-controlled and she's kind to those in her home. Her husband and children are so thankful to be home. It's a peaceful place to be. They know that their mother or wife is very kind to them, and she's not going to get out of control. In fact, they know and they feel that they are loved by her. She displays that love. She sacrifices. She's forgiving and she's gentle and she's kind and she treats them in loving ways. They know that mom is diligent, making sure and caring for the home. She doesn't just leave it in shambles and neglect it, but she focuses on making it beautiful and orderly. She manages it well. Just think of the impact that that now makes on that family. Right? What is it doing? It's establishing this healthy, stable, God-honoring home to be in, isn't it? It's creating a place of joy, a place of belonging, a place of peace. Her family loves to be at home. It's orderly. It's peaceful. It's where forgiveness is shown, even when we sin against each other. It's where kindness and love are shown. Where even in a chaotic world, they know home is a place of stability and peace. And yes, we're going to hurt each other and sin against each other, but there's going to be forgiveness shown and reconciliation and kindness through it all. Think about the impact of our children. They see this beautiful example. And now when they grow up, they want to imitate mom in her kindness, in her diligence, in her godliness. Even her husband is impacted as he feels loved by his wife. And his heart melts as he's convicted of the times that he treats her badly and how he hasn't been stepping up and doing his role. Everyone is impacted as they see this beautiful, godly example to follow Christ better. And now they go out and live differently because they have this godly influence. What a beautiful thing. What an amazing impact that can be. So moms, do not think lowly of your role. If you're ever tempted to do so, don't see it as menial, right? Don't see it as just this little ordinary thing. No, it is big. It can make this huge impact on others. I constantly hear people of how they talk about how a great big spiritual influence on them was their mother's example. Their mother's impact and influence. Of course, you're not going to be perfect in this, right? You're going to still sin, but this is the goal, right? This is the goal. This is what you strive for. And so if needed, you confess and you rest in the forgiveness of Christ, and then you ask God for help. And God is ready with open arms to forgive and help and to aid and to restore you. And for those who have been impacted by your mother, why not be thankful? Why not thank them today of the impact that they had, the godly influence and impact? Tell them how much you appreciated that example, that kindness, that love, that taking care of the home, whatever it may be, as described here in Titus 2. And even if they're not around, you can still be thankful in your heart, praise God for them. Even if you didn't have a Christian mother, even if you didn't have a godly mother, there may be glimpses of things that, hey, I'm still thankful for that. I'm thankful that God gave me a mother. And you could even think about some of the other mothers that made an impact on your own life as well. And so we see here, mothers can greatly impact their home. So while the world, they think that we as Christians restrict women, they think that we see them as inferior, it's the opposite. They are the ones lowering motherhood down. They are the ones seeing them as inferior. For we recognize and cherish the godly and great and eternal impact that they can make in a home. For eternity, right? And so we see they can impact other mothers, their homes. But there's one more thing in this passage about the impact. Mothers can greatly impact how others view the Word of God. I want you to look at our passage and notice something. We saw how older women are to teach younger women to live in a certain way, but consider the end of verse 5. The discipleship of older women with younger women, and then younger women living out this way, has amazing purpose. Did you see it? That the word of God may not be reviled. Why do we neglect to talk about this? We don't often think about this last part. But here you see this is all working towards this purpose, isn't it? It shows us that a mother's role has an important eternal impact. It is not something low. It is not something lowly or small. It affects the world. Think about what this verse is saying. The way that women live and the way that they treat others, their spouse and their children, and how they manage the world impacts how people view the Word of God. Meaning this, if they live in godly ways, it actually prevents people from reviling the Word of God. But if they're living in ungodly ways, they are opening up the Word of God to be more reviled. So to revile here is you're slandering and you're speaking despairingly and you're maligning and you're defaming. So it means people could degrade and belittle and speak badly about the Word of God. But the question is how? Like, how does that even happen? Like, how does women not living this way lead others to treat the Word of God this way? Well, think about it this way. If Christian women say they follow God, they follow the Word of God, but they live such ungodly lives, it actually weakens the credibility of the Word of God. Because it gives unbelievers this basis to malign the Word of God because they say, look at how it leads people to live. Look at how the Word of God leads people to live. Or people may wonder, what good is following the Bible if it does that in my life? It opens up this. But let's say a woman is striving to live the ways that we learned this morning, the beautiful godly ways, then it makes it very much harder for people to genuinely disparage the Word of God. Because when they try to revile the Word of God on account of these godly women, they are put to shame. Because other people are going to say, what are you talking about? I mean, that mom is so kind. She's so loving with her family. Her home runs smoothly. Hey, how could you say that the Word of God doesn't make a difference in their life? Just look at their life. As Christians, we shouldn't give anyone any reasons to criticize the Word of God. But we should show how powerful it is, how beautiful it is, because they see the difference it makes in our own lives. You see, often unbelievers judge the Bible by our lives. I mean, that's what they see. They say, hey, they believe in the Word of God. Now let me look at your life. That's what they do. And so if we are unloving people, if we are hypocrites, if our relationships are all in shambles, what does it show? People are more skeptical about the Bible, aren't they? They're more skeptical about the gospel. But if we live godly lives, it actually shows off the gospel's power and it shows that their accusations, they don't hold weight. Because all they have to do is look at our lives. And they won't be perfect, but it should be characterized by these things. You see, instead of showing the world that we're threats to society, by being godly wives and mothers, you show that living the way that God has said actually creates healthy and functioning homes, right? That is what it should show. Women living this way actually shows the truth and power of God's Word. And so did you realize that your day-to-day living, how you are a wife, how you are a mother, can actually adorn the Word of God? It can adorn it. The Word of God, of course, is attractive and beautiful in itself, but we can either obstruct that, or we can show it off. So what a motivation that women, you can influence how people view the Word of God. And think about that. Influencing how people view the Word of God impacts people's eternities because they are either turned to the Word or they are turned away from it. Like, think what a motivation. Ladies, how you live as a wife and mother is a powerful witness in the world. You play an important part in the mission of God. This should motivate you that I want to follow God's ways more. I want to follow in the way and path that He has called me to live. Like, don't you want God to be glorified? May your heart resound with this desire that His Word, I want His Word to be honored and lifted up and magnified. May you live in such a way that all may see the greatness of God, the power and truth of His Word. May your life be a testimony of how he can take a sinner like you and change your life because of Christ's work on the cross and how he provides forgiveness and new life. That he could take people who before Christ were so selfish and so mean and so following after their desires and cause you instead to be a loving and kind and forgiving woman and mother. That amidst a culture that bombards you with the message that you are to put yourself first and don't submit to a man, that you are willing to love your husband and follow him in the way that God has ordered your marriage. That in a culture that hates children because they kill them in the womb, yet you love your children by first not killing them, but also loving them for the rest of their lives, even in when it's hard, even when they sin against you, even when they disappoint you at times, you love them. That in a time when it's hard to be pure, you are pure. That in a dog-eat-dog world that says, be the girl boss, you are kind and you are loving. That in a day and age that pushes and pushes and pushes women to pursue life outside of the home, you care about and are diligent for your home so that your family members can flourish in their responsibilities. This is the beauty and impact of biblical motherhood. This is the beauty and impact that a godly mother can have. And the world may make fun of us all that they want because of our quote-unquote traditional views and oppressive views that they say, but we lift up motherhood for what it is. Because God has said and set up it to be this way, and living this way beautifully adorns the Word of God, showing its power to change a life, showing its truth, showing its beauty that influences and graces everyone who they meet. And through this, God is glorified, His word is honored, and more people are impacted for His name. You see, mothers living according to what God has said has immense implications for the kingdom. Do you realize that? It's not menial. It's not just this ordinary little thing. It's not low like the society tries to say, and you should have these dreams of all these things. No, see biblical womanhood and motherhood for what it is. Immense implications for eternity, for the glory of God. Remember to view your role through the lens of the glory of God. Follow the path that He has set before you. And for the rest of us who aren't mothers, may we cherish and show gratitude for the women in our lives. Do we, as men, as children, as non-mothers, do we view motherhood the way God views it? Here in Titus 2. Or do we view it too low? Or do we see, no, this is so important. This is so important for the kingdom. It impacts so many people. And so we see, never forget the impact that a godly mother can have. They can greatly impact other mothers, right? Training them to be in the ways of the Lord, which affects so many people. They can impact their homes as homes function well. Their husband and children experience kindness and love and grace, godly example. And they impact how other people view the Word of God as they display what it looks like to be faithful and godly. Do not disregard your special role as moms and women. Because so many times nowadays, people are influenced by the world and culture's view. So many times are their influence and they think, you are restricting women in the church. And all they care about is just focus on that. Oh, look how much you limit women. And yet we say, no, look at the amazing impact that they can make. Don't neglect that. You're the one who's neglecting that. Because they can teach other moms. They can impact their homes for the glory of God. They can impact the world for Christ. Because they are a powerful witness. That only in their role that they can do. You think that's a low job? Think again. That's a world-impacting job that has ripple effects for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would encourage us and challenge us where needed, that we'd always remember and cherish the way that you have set up this world, the way that you have set up and designed the marriage and family. Lord, even though the pressure is on from the world to mar and erase the distinctions among us, we embrace them because they are from you. Because they are beautiful and they each have their place and we each have our roles and our beautiful influences, impacts that we can each make on our own roles. And I pray that we would always cherish that, remembering that you are good and you are orderly and you have set it up to function these ways. And so I pray that we would always cling to your word and just see how magnificent and great your word is. And I pray that our lives would then be molded and shaped because of your word and reflective of your word in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.